With nearly everyone in the Twitter sphere, blogosphere, and hockey sphere using words like
no hockey,
Chris and I decided to get together and give you guys a little lesson. She hitched a ride. Welcome to episode number 47 of Pucked in the Head. My name is Jason Carello.
I am Chris Withers. Jason, it's good to be back.
Good to have you, Chris. You are in between vacations, and you've very nicely made some time for me this week. It's been quite a treat to see you a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's been a two-part honeymoon.
Not with me.
Not with you.
Yeah, that was with your lovely bride, of course.
With my lovely wife.
Yes. So you went to Vegas. How was that?
It was hot and not in the, oh my God, we're dancing and drinking so much kind of hot. It was just really, really, really physically warm.
So what would the temperature have been in Vegas while you were there?
I think it was about 36.
36 Celsius?
Celsius, yeah.
Which is north of 100, yeah. Is it not? Or close to 100.
I think it's about 102.
102 Fahrenheit for our American brethren.
Yeah. In any event, that is face-meltingly hot by Canadian standards.
Face-meltingly. Wow.
But yeah, it was a good time. I will go back, definitely.
Considering when I was in Dallas earlier this year, it was 44 degrees.
Wow.
Which is 108, I believe, on the Fahrenheit scale. Yeah, 36 is nothing.
All right.
Now, you're going to Europe.
Yeah, going off to Italy for a couple of weeks.
Which is pretty much where all of our NHL superstars are.
Yeah.
Europe and Northern Asia, not Italy.
Well, quite a number of them have gone to destinations tropical. Because when you've got that kind of money, why wouldn't you take a little vacation?
Well, this is what I don't understand. Now, I understand that a lot of athletes have a competitive drive. But I can't imagine that, for example, Rick Nash and Joe Thornton go over to the Swiss League back to Davos, where they played in during the 2004 lockout. You know, Rick Nash puts up like 65 points in the first three games before getting injured.
Mm-hmm.
There's no competition there. This is not competitive hockey for them. So why go?
There is something to be said, I guess, just for staying in game shape. But I mean, these guys are all athletes, even if they're not as talented.
Okay.
The bigger problem that I have is that they're going in the first place. I don't care why they're going. I care that they're going and taking away jobs from European players.
Okay, this is an argument I don't agree with.
Really?
This is the same argument that Don Cherry argued and Harold Ballard in Toronto argued against Swedes and Russians and Finns coming over and taking NHL jobs away from good, hardworking Canadian kids.
No.
That's 40 years ago. That's 50 years ago, right? The idea of globalization means anyone can go anywhere they want and work.
I don't have a problem with somebody going over to Europe to play hockey. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I have a problem with them, as members of a union going and taking a job that would ordinarily be available to a European player or any player. They could be taking a job away from another Canadian who had gone over there because they couldn't hack it in the NHL. And now all of a sudden these millionaires are locked out and they're going over there. If you're going to be a union and if you're going to collectively bargain, act like a union.
A good percentage of them are going and playing elsewhere.
I know.
So they are acting like a union. In Europe. Very quickly, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on the labor thing. If, for example, you work as a 911 operator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's an essential service, so there's legislation against strikes and lockouts for certain things. But let's just say, for argument's sake, Ecom locks you out.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go work elsewhere during the lockout?
No, I don't think I would. And I don't think I could.
Why not?
Well, I don't think that there is anybody that would have space for me.
No, I'm not necessarily saying 911.
The analogy is slightly flawed.
I'm saying any kind of work, right? Because your job is a different kind of situation. So it's not like there's another league of 911 operators that you can go over to. I'm simply saying work. Would you work doing anything? Or would you sit at home waiting for your union rep to make a deal?
That's an interesting question. I don't think that I would. I don't think I would work.
And how long could you put out that argument before, in your case, financial situation would actually make it necessary for you to work? And I'm not saying you personally. I'm saying you as in you and your coworkers.
That would be the key, wouldn't it, though, is the financial situation.
Well, I'm simply saying from a labor point of view, if you're saying the union needs to be a union, so they shouldn't work.
That's part of it. It's certainly not all of it.
Okay. But, I mean, that argument, I think, is false. Because if any other establishment locks their workers out, the workers are, in many cases, by necessity, going to go and work elsewhere.
Okay, but this is not a case of necessity.
Well, it may not be financial necessity, but it may be athletic necessity.
Well, you just made the argument that there is no athletic benefit to going to Switzerland.
Well, no, I asked the question. I simply asked the question. And from their point of view, perhaps there is a necessity, like you said, to keep in game shape, to keep sharp, whatever. Or simply the opportunity to add a different championship to their resume. Certainly, things like, you know, Swedish Elite League title, that's not something that a lot of NHL players have on their resume.
I still don't like it. I don't like the fact that people who are making a living wage in European leagues now are out of work because NHL players are coming over there because they couldn't get a deal done with the NHL.
Okay, and again, my argument is when guys like Börje Salming came over here and broke the foreigner barrier with the Toronto Maple Leafs, or even all those Swedes who originally came to the Winnipeg Jets and the WHA, when those guys started coming over here, when the Russians started leaving Russia, or the Soviet Union at that time, that meant there were North American players out of work.
Okay, but this is not a zero-sum game. Okay, there are a certain number of hockey-playing professional jobs in the world. Okay, now a group of players, they are certainly partially responsible for lowering the number of hockey-playing jobs that are currently available in the world. And now they have gone and taken jobs from other people. So when Börje Salming et al. Came over to North America, they were simply competing for jobs that were already available. People that were out of work in North America could have then gone over to Europe and taken jobs that were freed up by Börje Salming and others not competing for those jobs. This is a different situation.
Now, you could also make the argument that people like Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin and superstars like that, or even if you want to use, well, I guess Alex Ovechkin is Russian, you know, you use guys like Peter Forsberg and Pavel Datsyuk, guys like this, that these people, by playing in the NHL, have risen the awareness in their own countries of the sport of hockey by bringing the Stanley Cup when they win it, by winning scoring titles, by being superstars on the cover of EA hockey video games, that these guys are actually creating jobs in their own countries by being in the NHL in the first place. For example, Marcus Naslund gets all his millions in the NHL, goes back, builds ice hockey rinks, buys Modo, and supports the junior team, all that kind of stuff. Jaromír Jágr did the same in the Czech Republic. So all of these guys cannot be said to be taking jobs. They're creating jobs in their own countries. And far more than just the few NHLers that are going over and doing some temp work.
Well, this actually leads into the first of our two discussions. Recently, there was a suggestion in the media from a well-regarded source, or a fairly well-regarded source, that the National Hockey League, if the lockout were to stretch into November, would bring in replacement players in an attempt to break the NHLPA. I think that this would be a catastrophic mistake for the National Hockey League. What would your opinion be of replacement players in the NHL, Jason?
Well, I mean, we don't have to look very far. Take a look at the NFL. Now, one of the things about the NFL, they've got a very short schedule. Okay, they only play, what, 18 games a year? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That means 9 home games. But they sold out quite a few stadiums during that debacle. I don't know what year that was. I'm not a big football fan. But when they had replacement players, it was still, you could still go and see the Bears play the Giants. It was still NFL football. There was still, you know, Monday Night Football on TV. Even if it was replacement players, it still had the highest level of production.
Would you watch?
I would probably watch out of curiosity, but then again, I'm a fan of the game. Like, I'll watch any competitive hockey.
So hypothetically, replacement players come in and the NHLPA doesn't cave. It stretches throughout the entire season. The replacement Vancouver Canucks go on to win the Stanley Cup. How do you feel about that?
Ooh, that's a tough one, my friend. That is a very, very tough one. There is something you brought up in a conversation recently that I find quite interesting, that the trustees of the Stanley Cup no longer only have to give it to an NHL team.
If the season is lost, that's correct. They do not have to, or they have the ability to award the Stanley Cup to any competition that is judged worthy by the trustees.
So the question is, would they judge an NHL competition worthy?
Actually, no, that's not up to them. If the NHL plays, it must go to the NHL champion.
Okay. Even if it's replacement players?
That's correct.
Wow.
Now, the only way they get the option to award it elsewhere is if the NHL loses another season to a lockout.
Right. And then if they so desired, they could go over to the Swedish Elite League or the UK Elite League or whatever they choose, have a ball hockey tournament in downtown New York.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, you guys win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
I think if the Vancouver Canucks won the Stanley Cup in that manner, it would be absolute hell to deal with the trash talk from other cities. I think is my biggest problem with that. Yeah, I can just hear, especially all the Chicago Blackhawks fans saying things like, the only way you could ever win a cup is when, you know, the other players, the other good players aren't in the league.
Mm-hmm.
People trash talking the Sedins, saying, you know, the sisters still couldn't win you a cup, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And sounding a lot like my toddler daughter. Is essentially what most of the fans around the league would sound like.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I'm with quite a number of people that I've seen on Twitter say that replacement players in the NHL would pretty much be the end of it for them. They would lose what interest remains to them.
Agreed. Again, if it's something that is competitive, I would still be interested in watching the games. I wouldn't consider it NHL hockey. I mean, when NHL stars go over and play in Europe, it's still not NHL hockey, even though they're NHL stars.
And would you come back afterwards?
It would take me a long time to come back. I've actually got a story about that. And I think I've told you before that when the players struck, was that 1990?
92, I think.
You know what? I can't even remember if it was the strike or the first lockout. I can't remember. All I know is I planned a trip to go and see games at the Montreal Forum, the Boston Garden, and I saved up a whole bunch of money, timed it so that I'd be going, I'd be able to see Boston, Montreal play in both places. And yeah, they weren't playing, and they started playing 12 days after I got home.
Ouch. You have not told me that before.
It took me a full year before I could bring myself to watch an NHL hockey game of any kind. 3 years before I actually spent any money on NHL stuff, because I was heartbroken. The Boston Garden and Montreal Forum, of course, have now closed.
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Garden, I ended up seeing an NBA game between the two worst teams in the league at the time.
The Celtics and who?
The Celtics and the Washington Wizards.
Excellent.
And I'm not even an NBA fan.
Not even a comeback Michael Jordan to even pique your interest?
No, it was well before that. No. That's the sound I made. The sound that my daughter just made. That's the sound I made. I was in the press box as a college reporter at the Boston Garden, and I looked up at the rafters and saw Bobby Orr and Phil Esposito and those guys in the rafters. And I looked down at the floor, and it was a whole bunch of nameless mutants chasing a little round ball, and couldn't have cared less. I was rather upset.
Hmm.
And made that noise for about 3 years.
I don't know. It would take me a long time to come back. So, yeah. I think that the NHL should probably not do that.
One more thing I'd like to put in. When the NFL had replacement players, now, again, I don't know the year, I don't know how long they did it, but it's infamous. This is also a country that sells 100,000 tickets to college football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dozens and dozens of college teams with 70, 80, 90, 100,000 people in the stadium for their home games.
Right.
Hockey does not have that, which leads me into my topic for today, which is all the people saying there's no hockey, I call bullshit.
Yeah, it frustrates me.
There are all kinds of levels of hockey to go to. In fact, Major Junior in both Canada and college hockey in the States have already started their seasons. You've got the Vancouver Giants, for example, only charging $15 a ticket for their first three games, and their attendance was about 7,000, 7,000, and 5,000 something.
Yeah.
In a building that used to hold 14,000.
Well, yeah, I mean, capacity is 16,000 for the Coliseum, so I think they've got some seats tarped off, but it's still got to be 12 or 13 in there.
They do have some seats tarped off. But they have them tarped off because they don't sell those tickets.
Yeah.
Their average attendance last year was among the in the CHL, which is Canadian Junior Hockey League, Major Junior. There were 9 teams over 6,000 fans per game. Okay. The Quebec Rempart were the only team in across the country. There are 60 teams, 52 in Canada, 8 in the States. The Quebec Rempart were the only team in the CHL to break 10,000 per game as an average. There were only 9 teams over 6,000 people per game. And this is 52 teams in Canada. 8 of them, because one of those 9 teams was Spokane in the States, 8 of the 52 teams break 6,000 people per game. This is top level junior hockey.
Well, so let me interrupt you for a second. That figure is somewhat misleading because a lot of these 60 teams are playing in barns that don't hold more than 4,000.
Okay, but the point being that even if they did hold more than that, they wouldn't get more than 10,000 people. You get places in the AHL, which is the farm teams of the NHL. The argument could be made that the AHL is the second best league in the world. Some people say it's the KHL in Russia. It could be argued that this is better hockey than that.
I don't think it could be argued effectively if you've watched both leagues, but...
Well, a lot of these guys could step straight into the NHL and do top attendance in the AHL under 10,000 per game.
And where is that?
That's Hershey, the Hershey Bears. So last year, the bottom attendance was 3,400 people in Albany. Abbotsford, which is close to Vancouver, it's a doable drive. Tickets are $20 from a supposed hockey town. Their attendance was 3,500 per. The only sellouts of the year came when the Vancouver Canucks farm team were in town.
Two different issues here. First, I don't really have an issue with American leagues that aren't selling out because it's just not as big in America. There are only two AHL teams in... No, I'm sorry. There's three AHL teams in Canada. Is that right?
Abbotsford, Toronto.
And St. John's.
And I believe St. John's is the third.
Those three teams should be selling out.
And they are not.
The reason one of them isn't, I suspect, is because it's full of Calgary Flames and nobody in Vancouver wants to support the Flames franchise.
Ah, but this is where, again, I call bullshit. These are people who claim to be hockey fans. Hockey fans. Fact is, this is top-level hockey. Not the very top, but very close to it.
Okay, but there are very, very few fans, even hockey fans, who are going to go and pay money for a team that they don't support. Now, if they... If the Canucks farm team was in Abbotsford, I think you'd see that building sell out every day.
I've got a big problem with that.
Why?
Well, first of all, there are loads of studies saying that local teams, like when people move, their allegiance moves with them. They might always hold their original team in their heart, but they come to love the local team. The fact that Abbotsford is a hop, skip, and jump away means that we can go out and watch a local team for $20. where most of the players are ones who could jump into the NHL and we don't go, that's lame. I wanted to go to loads of games. I couldn't find people to go with me.
Yeah, I would have an issue with that, honestly. I wouldn't go to very many Abbotsford Heat games.
I know, I've asked you to go.
It's an hour, at least.
So what? People spend an hour getting to Vancouver Canucks games all the time. More people drive from places like Abbotsford to go and see the Canucks than are willing to drive out to see Abbotsford.
Yeah, that surprises you.
And they're paying way more. They're paying way more for tickets. It's $20. Tickets to the Giants. When I had season's tickets to the Giants, there were tons of nights where I couldn't find people to go with me. Lame. Major junior hockey in a supposedly hockey town. So my argument is that anybody who says there's no hockey, I call BS. There's loads of hockey leagues out there. Most of them are dirt cheap to go to. You can go see a UBC Thunderbirds hockey game, which is CIS, college hockey. You can go see those games for $8.
I will just say this. I wholeheartedly agree with you. It really pisses me off when people say there's no hockey. And I've sent a couple of people already, when I've seen that on Twitter, I've sent them links to their local WHL team's schedule so that they can find themselves some hockey more easily. But I think that you are overestimating somewhat the amount of people that are hockey fans as opposed to Canucks fans. And I think that applies to pretty much any city anywhere. There's a limited amount of people that are invested enough in hockey as a sport that they're going to go and watch the lower levels of it.
So first of all, I'd like to say it's a limited number of people. You can count people, so it's number, not amount. Okay, amount is for non-count nouns. Limited number. Second of all, now that I take my grammar police hat off.
No, you're not. You are never, ever going to take that hat off.
Good point. Second of all, I don't overestimate the number of people. What I'm doing is I'm saying that it's ridiculous how few people there are who enjoy the game as opposed to enjoy a team. I mean, basically what they're saying is that if they were on a trip, they wouldn't go see an NHL game in another city unless their home team was involved. That's dumb.
Or they would go, but for another reason. When you went to Montreal, you had planned to go to the Forum because you were a hockey fan.
Yes.
I think there are quite a number of people who would go just to say they've been to the Forum.
Which I did. I took a tour of the Forum.
Mm-hmm. Not really caring particularly about the hockey, just going for the novelty of it.
Well, that's dumb. I wanted to see a hockey game in the Forum. I wanted to see people skate. I wanted to hear the checks against the boards. I wanted to feel the energy of that rink and the history of it during a game. And I was denied that by a labor stoppage. And unfortunately, at that time, I did not have the same resources I have now as far as finding out other levels of hockey or other things going on. Plus, I was only there for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
But damn straight, if I went to Toronto this week or next week, I'd go see a Marlies game in a heartbeat. If I go to Ottawa, I'd see the 67s play. Why not?
Yeah, I don't know if I would. It would depend what I was there for.
If there's a home game in a city that I go to, I want to see that game. And I don't care what level it is. I want to see the local hockey, the local people, the local feel of the game.
You know, it's interesting because I'm going to Italy in a couple of weeks and I am planning on seeing a local soccer game there. But I don't... It's weird. I for some reason feel differently about soccer than I do about hockey, and I'm wondering if it's just because it's all so blandly Canadian at hockey rinks for the most part.
Hmm. I'd be interested to see a game, like a hockey game in Europe.
As would I. I would definitely go and see a hockey game in Europe.
Well, there is Italian hockey.
When you present the idea of a hockey game in Europe to me, my reaction is, yeah, absolutely, I'll go see a hockey game in Europe.
But not in small town Canada.
No, the Ottawa 67s. I mean, I might go, but it's not something that I would go particularly out of my way for.
Well, you'd be in Ottawa.
But I wouldn't go to Ottawa to see a 67s game. I might go to a 67s game if I was in Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about since there is, nothing else to really talk about right now. I've been thinking about doing a little driving tour and seeing a game, WHL games in Seattle, Portland, Tri-Cities, which play in Kennewick, Washington, and Spokane. I think that would be an awesome trip.
Mm-hmm. A four-game road trip like that is an event. It's like it's almost something that transcends the individual hockey game. So, you know, there's a reason to go outside of just going to a hockey game.
And yet, you wouldn't drive 45 minutes to go see a game in Abbotsford.
No, probably not. I'm lame.
Yes, yes, you are. I will definitely get behind that comment. All right, well, I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
Okay.
To all of our listeners out there, if there's anyone who would agree to put me up in their city so that I could come and watch your local hockey team, especially if you're independently wealthy and would also like to pay for my plane ticket, I'm game. Chris, however, is not. So contact me and not him. For Pucked in the Head, I'm Jason Paiello.
I'm Chris Withers.
It's been a slice, sir.
Well, you take care.
Time for a change. Time for a change.
By the way, you can talk while she's crying.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could, couldn't I?